And this was a very common story, especially in Brooklyn and in the Lower East Side. And you saw it a lot in San Francisco, same story. And then we also saw this kind of rampantly during the Depression and the years afterwards, where rent strikes ended up starting to be a common sense way of pushing the landlord to make concessions. But I think the difference here is that we want to use concessions as a way forward to create permanent organizations that can fight even if those concessions get taken away later.
Well, we're coming up to the end of the time we have for the on-air portion of our conversation. I've been talking with Shane, who is a local community organizer focused on housing justice issues. You can find us in a day or two by going to kboo.fm/Old Mole Variety Hour. I'd like to remind listeners that there are a couple more renters assemblies coming up. The first will be on Sunday, July 12th at the North Portland Library from about noon to 2 p.m. We'll have speakers stimulating conversations around race and gentrification. And on Wednesday, July 15th from about 6 to 8 p.m. at Colonel Sumner's Park in the covered area down by the west side of the park, not far from 17th and Taylor. We'll have speakers there to stimulate conversations around community organizing like we've been talking about. Thanks again, Shane, for coming on to the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's Old Mole Variety Hour. Thanks to Norm Diamond and the Low Tide Drifters for bringing us their amazing music and inspiring us to make more of it. They're local to Eugene, but you can find them on the web at lowtidedrifters.wordpress.com. Thanks to Ryan Wisner for talking with us about commemorating Bloody Wednesday, an event happening at Pier Park on July 11th at 2:30. Meet at the intersection of North Bruce and North James Street and have a tour of Portland history. And thanks again to Shane for coming on to talk with us about community syndicalism and building unions that go beyond the workplace. You can find today's show in a day or two by going to kboo.fm/Old Mole Variety Hour, where you'll find the whole show, individual segments, and links to all mentioned and relevant material. Tune in next week for more news, reviews, interviews, commentary, analysis from a radical socialist feminist perspective. For the Old Mole Variety Hour, I'm Joe Clement.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, July 6th, 2015. Bringing you news, commentary, and jiggery pokery today. You're listening, of course, to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, we are fortunate to be welcoming Antonia Yuhas to the KBOO Airwaves. Antonia just had a very important piece out. It is called BP Got Off Cheap. Did they ever and how? Cannot emphasize that enough. I can't, but Antonia can. We'll be speaking with her in just a few minutes. Of course, as many listeners already know, U.S. is an oil industry expert. She has written extensively on the subject of oil spills. She's an investigative journalist. And she says that the settlement is not enough to cover BP's legal obligations or to restore the Gulf or to stop any other oil company from engaging in this type of grossly negligent behavior. Meanwhile, here in the Pacific Northwest, we have the ominous prospect of Shell's experiment in drilling in the Arctic. Their first effort failed miserably. They are repeating exactly the same the same thing, same technology, same everything. Doomed to failure, of course. The Kai activists in Seattle have been harrowing Shell company ships and rig, but we'll see what happens. Right now, I want to go straight to our guest, Antonia Juhas. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Great to be with you. Good morning.
Well, so here we are. Even the Associated Press went so far as to report today that science has indeed confirmed what many of us in the activist and environmentalist community knew all along, is that time's running out if we intend to save the oceans. If the oceans die, it doesn't mean you can't go to the beach anymore. It means massive and unpredictable climate change, the likes of which we have never, ever encountered, have no way of knowing how to prepare for. That said, when you write that BP got off cheap, what would be a sum that would be more likely to cover all of the costs that the disaster caused the Gulf Coast to bear right now? What's a realistic number?
That's, it's a big question. So, first, what's clear is that BP got off cheaply. And what I mean by that is that this is a settlement after 5 years of litigation, and it's a settlement between the U.S. government, the five states in the United States most directly harmed, and about 400 local governments. And this $18.7 billion, while it sounds very large, and it is a large number, is just a drop in the bucket compared to what BP's just straight up legal obligations should have been. So under the law, a judge found BP grossly negligent for causing this disaster, and that brings with it a per barrel of oil fine that BP has to pay. Now there's a range that the judge can look at, but what the federal government had sought was the highest possible fine, because the judge found BP the highest level of negligence it could under this consideration. And that would have been $18 billion just for the Clean Water Act. But this settlement is also for every natural resource harmed and, as the Oil Pollution Act requires of BP, restored. So that means, millions of barrels of oil were released into the Gulf of Mexico. And I was actually a year ago in a submarine at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico at the site of the BP oil spill for an article I was writing for Harper's Magazine. And what the scientists have discovered is that some 30 million barrels of that oil remain in the Gulf ecosystem. That's the equivalent of three Exxon Valdez oil spills. So all of that economic restoration is also covered by this settlement. In addition, the economic loss by those states and those local governments. And, the National Wildlife Federation has estimated that the ecological restoration alone should be about $30 billion. I actually did a calculation a couple of years ago trying to tally up every, possible fine under the law that BP should be just held liable to just on a straight application of the law, and that was about $200 billion. So, when you put it in that context, $18 billion isn't a lot of money. In addition, it's spread out over 15 to 18 years, depending on the pot of money, and BP also gets to write off some of the in taxes, and so that's why BP put out a press release that said, this is a good deal. We did a good job. And the next day, their stock price rose, and financial analysts said, this is a great, that they cheered, is a quote from Bloomberg, that this was a good, good deal for BP in the end.
So one quick question before we've got a couple minutes left here. How does this, what sort of a precedent does it set? And how does it, would it affect potentially the Shell's experiment, its adventures in the Arctic?
Yeah, that really is the one of the biggest problems here. Then our legal system is supposed to accomplish a lot of things, but one of them is also to dissuade bad behavior, of risky behavior by corporate actors. And as I said earlier, the judge said BP was grossly negligent. From the judge's ruling, he said it put profits over every other concern. And in addition, he found Halliburton and Transocean, two of the largest operators in offshore oil drilling, negligent. Now, Transocean is the owner and operator of Shell's drilling rig in the Arctic. It's called the Transocean Polar Pioneer. So same company. Now, it's the one heading out into the Arctic, into the Chukchi Sea. And that, you know, this fine is simply not enough. It really just becomes the cost of doing business for the oil companies, if they believe, and Shell certainly does, that there's a lot of oil out there, and it's already invested about $8 billion in this effort, in this crusade to get oil in the Arctic.
So Antonio, we're just about out of time. Before we let you go, though, could you let listeners know where they can take a look at that the BP Got Off Cheap, your piece that just came out, I believe.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's on Rolling Stone's website, as well as other articles that I've written there.
Indeed it is, yes. And also, listeners, have a look at the Harper's article from I can't remember the date, but you can easily find it. And I do highly commend that. We now have, thanks so much for that. We now are going to be speaking, of course, with Loan Pursing Berman, with Rising Tide, who is actually at a demonstration here in Portland, I believe. As listeners will perhaps know, this is the 1 year anniversary, July 6, 2013, a year ago. Train carrying oil derailed in Lac Megantic in Quebec. It resulted in an explosion so enormous, so wild and hot, it leveled several city blocks, incinerated the bodies of many of its 47 victims. It's a small town, and it's much smaller now. And so across the country, in towns and cities all over the nation, we are going to be looking at that and taking to the streets and bridges to acknowledge that we are all living in a blast zone now, pretty much. This oil train week of action, it begins today, and Loan is right there, I believe. Good morning, Loan. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
So what have you seen this morning? Where are you? And tell us where you are and what you've seen.
Well, right now I am standing near the ARC Logistics oil terminal in Northwest Portland. There are oil trains loaded with Bakken crude that are waiting to be unloaded. It looks like they're DOT-111 cars, the same kind of cars that exploded in Lac Megantic. And what has just happened, it's now ending, is that a group of some 60-plus climate activists marched on the tracks, blocking the tracks, and stopped in front of the cars waiting to be unloaded. 47 individuals carried signs with the names and ages ranging from age 4 to age 93 of the 47 victims of the Lac Megantic explosion, which some would call an accident and others would call a crime. There was a very large banner that commemorated the victims, giving the date of July 6th, 2013, this being the second anniversary of the disaster. And then the banner read, oil trains fuel climate chaos. So there's a dual message here. One message is, of course, the safety issue, the disaster that happened at Lac Megantic, and the continuing derailments and explosions of oil trains, bomb trains, and other trains carrying toxic materials across the country. the fact that these trains are actually running right through Portland, the fact that we've gone from a few thousand oiled cars per year coming through the United States to about 500,000 in a very short time, and the dangers these various trains pose to the population of the areas they go through. But the other message, of course, is that when this oil is burned, wherever it's burned, whether it's burned in a horrific explosion in Nacamagoan Peak or whether it's burned in the cars and trucks and other industrial uses here in America or in Asia, it doesn't matter. One atmosphere, one planet, and the great calamity of climate change and global warming, which is rapidly, not rapidly approaching, it's here already, as we have paid attention to here in Portland the last few days. But the fact that the entire world is facing catastrophe, and that the oil companies and the leaders of the world seem more interested in short-term profits than in long-term survival of the human species and literally thousands of other species that will perish.
We have only one planet. Lone, before we let you go, you've been very generous with your time. Thanks for that. Where can listeners go to participate and to take action?
Well, this event was sponsored by the Climate Action Coalition, which is a coalition of 9 local climate groups, including I won't name them all, but certainly Portland Rising Tide, PDX.
What's the next event that's coming up we should know about?
Well, I'm not sure, but the best thing to do is to go on the Climate Action Coalition website or the Portland Rising Tide website. Either one, just do a Google search for Climate Action.